I'm going to start with a question this morning. It's on the screen up there. How quiet is your heart? There may be some in the room that say, my heart is very quiet this morning, very quiet before the Lord. But I would suppose if you're like me, you wrestle with that sometimes, with having a quiet heart. It's noisy, it's distracted, it's divided, sometimes perturbed with things you can't figure out. And if you're like that, you may relate to the title of one of my favorite Christian songs out right now. The title is, How Do I Silence the World? You ever feel that question with everything just bombarding you? That scripture that was read this morning, that was the whole psalm we're in, Psalm 131, three verses. But don't get too excited. We're going to go some other places too. Psalms is an interesting book. Not only is it the biggest book in the Bible, it also has the longest chapter in Psalm 119. It's almost 200 verses. If you ever never looked at Psalm 119, check that out. But it also has the shortest. It's actually not this one. There's one shorter, Psalm 117. It only has 17 words. This one's close, but I think about how small it is, and I think about how, I don't know if anybody else relates to this, I'm at the place in my life where I'm exploring what little pulls and pills or supplements are out there that will just give me just a little bit more energy. And I found one that's helping a little bit. It's CoQ10. It's a little pill, but it gives me that energy. I think of this little psalm just like a little pill. But man, if we take it in by faith and practice it, it could change our lives, our relationship with the Lord. It could change the quiet in our hearts. So I invite you to listen in. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 131. Don't miss the header up there. It says, A Song of Ascents of David. These were songs that the people of Israel were to sing as they headed three times a week to Jerusalem. It's called of ascents because Jerusalem was up. So they'd go and they'd sing these songs as they went to celebrate these feasts. It was written by David. And I want you to look at verse 1. He says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. Marvelous, some translations call it wonderful, some define it, it means difficult, things that are too difficult for me. And what's he saying? This is a man who is king of Israel. He's saying, look, Lord, I admit in all humility, some things are just above me. Some things are above my pay grade, and I have to leave those in your hands. But he goes on, verse 2, this picture is so beautiful. He says, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Not just a child. What kind of child? A weaned child. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Now, if you've ever had a child and you've been to that stage where they're in the breastfeeding phase of things before they're weaned, when they're hungry, especially when their mother, before they're fed, they're anything but quiet, right? They smell it, they want that milk. But after that, they're weaned from breastfeeding, they're on to other food. They can then, like this, sit next to their mother peacefully and just enjoy being in her presence. And David is saying, that's what I've done. I've called my heart that way. We We have to make that choice by the Spirit, Galatians 5. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. By the Spirit, we have to make that choice. Lord, calm my heart with you like that weaned child. And I want to ask you this morning, is that you with God this morning? Are you like that weaned child? Or like we all get sometimes, are you restless with all your unanswered questions and unrealized pursuits? It's a song of ascent. Some have even wondered, did this picture a mother carrying that child on the way to Jerusalem? But I think about this verse and I think about something Jesus said. You remember the words of our Savior, Matthew chapter 18, verse 3? He said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, that doesn't mean children don't have a lot of questions. If you have children or have been around children, you know they have a lot of questions. Why this? Why that? Why that? But generally speaking, they're more trusting than hard-hearted, skeptical, worldly wise adults are. You say, "We're going to the store," okay. They hop in the car. Not always. Verse 3. We see he doesn't want this kind of peaceful relationship, this quiet heart before the Lord, just for himself. He wants it for all of the people of Israel. He says, "O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." He wants all of God's people to enjoy what he's found in his relationship with the Lord. Now, I told you we're not going to stop right there, so don't get ready to pray and head out. I was thinking about quiet in our world, and I was thinking about some of the common disturbers of the quiet. What disturbs the quiet in my heart? And my guess is some of these are probably the same things that disturb the quiet in yours, even as a child of God living in this fallen world. And we're going to use the word quiet as an acronym to talk about five of these things. See if you don't relate to these things. The first one for Q, questions. And I'm talking especially questions of the unanswered variety. You have any of those in your life right now? You have asked God time and time and time again, why this, why that, and from your perspective, you've got no answers. I've been there. I remember in college, at Bible college, I went through 2 years of all this doubt. It even showed up in my papers that I would write. I'd write about God and say, "This is probably true about God. This is likely true about God." And all those papers, if I go back and read them now, you know why I was doing that? They reflected something going on in my heart. I got to this point in my life with God where, I'll just be honest, I was feeling like, if I can't understand this or this about you, Lord, I'm not going to trust you. So everything became maybe, probably. And it wasn't until after 2 years of Carolyn and other family members praying for me through that one night I was in the room with my Bible open, reading in Romans, and there was no audible voice, but God sure made it clear in my heart, "Scott, you're human. You are finite. I am God. You don't have to understand everything about me. And you know what? That's okay. All you need to do is decide, will you trust me?" I cried like a baby in that moment because he gave me permission to be human and begin walking with passion and fervor again, even though I didn't have all my questions answered. Now, am I saying don't be diligent with what he has revealed in his word? Absolutely not. Work like a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. Proverbs talks about getting in there and digging for his wisdom like a miner looking for silver or gold. But I want to tell you something. Some of you need to know this morning to help you with this battle. God has not revealed everything. Somebody needs to hear that. How do I know that? Look at Deuteronomy 29, 29. Some of you need to hear this morning. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. There are some things that are secret that belong only to Him. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. He has not revealed everything, and that's okay. He's given us all that we need. So whether it's that prayer you feel is unanswered, maybe you look at suffering in the world, maybe you look at how in the world is God's sovereignty and man's choice all reconciled and you don't have the answer, listen, I'm going to encourage you this morning. Maybe this will free you. You need to profess this. You are God, and I am not. Let it go. Isaiah 55, 9, he says, the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Can you let that go this morning? That thing you've been banging your head on, you're that restless child. I like the way William MacDonald looked at this passage. He said, David did not profess to know all the answers. His heart was not lifted up like that of an insufferable know-it-all. His eyes were not raised too high, as if he were the finished intellectual egotist. He recognized his limitations and was not ashamed to say, listen to these words, some of us need to know this is okay. I don't know. It's okay. It's okay. He hasn't revealed everything. Second, the you, I'm talking about when we're under pressure. How many of you notice when things in your life hit, while sometimes it's often that thing that draws us back to God, they can also become distractions. They become that noise in our hearts that keep us from listening to the Lord. We talked about Elijah last week a little bit, so I'm not going to go deep into the chapter. You remember, he won that great battle by God's help over the prophets of Baal. Jezebel sent the death warrant out. Kill him. He runs. Verse 4 in 1 Kings 19 says he went where? This is important. The wilderness. You ever notice in the Bible how many cool things happen between people and God in the wilderness? Why do you suppose that is? It's quiet. He's away from the hubbub of Carmel and all that. He's out in the wilderness, and God gave him that angel food cake and that water from the birds, but it didn't stop there because he needed spiritual nourishment. He was ready to end his life. After the physical nourishment, 1 Kings 19, verse 8 says, he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God, even further into the wilderness. And it says he came to a cave and he lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now the Lord's got his attention. He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And listen to this. This is how dark it was. He says, I am left. What's he saying? I'm the only one left that loves you, Lord. Ever feel that way in this world? And he says, they seek my life to take it away. And he was told, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great and strong wind, tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But guess what? The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. These are all loud, bombastic happenings. And then after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. You may have heard it described as a still, small voice. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him. So what are you doing here, Elijah? Sound familiar? He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel. And he goes into it again. Verse 15, and the Lord said to him, and I'm going to paraphrase, you're wrong, Elijah. You're not alone. You are not alone. Verse 18, God says, I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. You're not alone. He needed to know that. Maybe you need to know that today. And I'm not done working either, Elijah. Among other things, you're going to anoint Elijah to travel with you and take over the prophetic ministry in Israel. I'm not done working. But before he could hear that, he had to position himself to hear the word of the Lord. I think about that, and I think about how many of you got a satellite dish on your house? And those satellites orbit the earth, right? But not everybody gets those signals, right? Only the ones that have that dish, and it's got to be positioned right to get that signal. Or what about, have you ever been in a crowd with a lot of people and your spouse calls and you're with a bunch of people and you answer and you say, what? What? I can't hear you. There's too many people talking around here. What do you have to do? And to slide away from the crowd so you can hear what your spouse is trying to say. You have to be intentional about getting alone with the Lord. Are you intentional about that? I think about even the words of our Savior, Jesus, Matthew 6, 16. When you pray, what? Go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. Do you have that built into your life? But some of you, I know, you're saying, Scott, you have no idea about my schedule. I got so much going on. I got so many places to go, so many people to see. Besides that, Scott, I just, all day long, I'm going through my schedule and I pray without ceasing as I go and I walk in constant presence with the Father. Okay, but let me ask you a question. So I'm not saying that's not true, but would you say it is good to follow the example of our Savior Jesus Christ? Just a question. Yeah, that's a gimme, right? The answer is yes. Okay, think about his earthly ministry here as he walked in the flesh. Talk about an itinerary. Think about the itinerary Jesus had. By all standards, he had a shorter life than most humans, just a little beyond 30 during that stretch. And not to mention, most of what he did ministry-wise was what? Within 3 short years. Can anybody agree? He had a lot to get done. He had a lot of places to go. A lot of people to see, and ultimately what? To give his life as a ransom for many on the cross. Amen. I think about that, and I look at Luke 5. You talk about a busy itinerary. Just read the whole chapter sometime, Luke chapter 5. Talk about a busy itinerary. In that one little chapter, he's preaching crowds, he's teaching, he's recruiting Peter to ministry, he's healing a leper, he's healing a paralyzed man. People hear about the healings and great crowds come to be healing as well. At the end, he recruits Matthew and has a party with the tax collectors and prostitutes. Right in the middle of all that, would you say that's a busy itinerary? You know what it says in Luke chapter 5, 15? It says that the news about him was spreading even further. And large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness to pray. That sweet fellowship with his Father was always at the top of his list, no matter how busy he got. Why? He said, I do nothing of my own accord. I do what the Father is doing. What about us with Jesus? A time alone with him. What's Jesus say in John 15, 5? I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Listen, I'm going to tell you, how many of you want to partner with God in ministry in this world? I dare say all of you raise your hand that are believers in Christ. I say it this way, if you want God to work in your schedule, if you want God to work in your schedule, make sure God is on your schedule. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. I think about that, and I think about Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China in the early days of missions. Turtle back there, that's a hungry guy for truth. He devours God's Word. I gave him a book to read. Last week I gave him the biography of how John Newton came to Christ. I gave it to him on Sunday. He texted Tuesday, I'm done. I want another one. So this week I gave him the biography of Hudson Taylor. It's called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. You know what his secret was? It was dependence on the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. Even as he's going through China with all the crowds and all the things to do, his partners in ministry were called night after night. They'd hear a match be lit. And they saw him light his little lamp, and from 2 to 4 a.m., he's sitting there with this two-volume Scripture, devouring God's Word. And Lord, speak to me, praying. What about events in the world? Man, there's so much in the world. Never has it been so easy to sit down for an hour like on your cell phone and you could see headlines for 60 horrible disasters in the world in 1 hour, right? Whether it's a flood in Nepal or a murder here, an assault here, and you read it, and you read it, and you read it. And I remember talking about this with Carolyn, our oldest son, Monday. We were just wrestling with, are we meant to carry all that as humans? Because you read all that, and they look small, but each one you read it, and it feels like it's a little marble, but it weighs like 1,000 pounds. Ever been there? And of course, we can pray about all of them. But we have a real sense inside that I can't physically do something about every one of these. Been there? But here's the thing I want to encourage us to beware of as believers. Don't go from can't do anything about all of these physically to this. I can do nothing about anything. Oh, how the enemy wants us to get there. He wants us to be so focused on those headlines that we forget the people God has put in our lives right here that I can touch, I can pray for, I can serve, the people in my neighborhood that God has said, I want to use you to impact them. I can do something about that. Don't miss the power of the little in the face of the big. Tony's laughing. We talked about this at the men's group on Thursday. How at the time Jesus was born in Bethlehem, you know what everybody was talking about in the whole Roman Empire? The headline, Caesar, Caesar, Caesar. He wants everybody to go to their hometown and sign up so he can get more taxes. Did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? Getting up into a tizzy. All the while, I'll tell you, very few people in the world, and I thank Chuck Swindoll for bringing this out, there were hardly any people thinking about what was going on in the stable. While Jesus, the bread of life, is born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, and put in a manger. The one who came to bring salvation to all. Don't miss the power of the little. Who do you think Jesus is, the world is talking about more these days? That Caesar or Jesus Christ? I think about that, and I think about something Carolyn did just recently. God's bringing new people in our neighborhood, and one day we love zucchini bread. She got a zucchini. She's like, hey, I want to make some zucchini bread. And she said, I want to just take some of these to some of our newer neighbors. She did. And what's she doing? She's showing the love of Christ in the neighborhood. And it starts some good relationships that I hope will continue to grow. Don't miss the power of the zucchini bread. Or the letter. Or the prayer. Or someone I know in this church who's looking at a ministry in Arizona that's helping to build beds for children in Arizona who don't have a bed. Don't miss the power of the little. See, part of what we need when we look at all the headlines in the world, I think about perspective. Yes, there are big challenges. Don't forget, there's a bigger God.
Amen.
Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Perspective's an interesting thing. Have you ever looked at photography perspectives? If you put people in the right place, you can get two people in the foreground in the Eiffel Tower in the background, and it looks like those two people are bigger than the Eiffel Tower, like they're holding it in their hand.
Well, I'm blind. I can't see those perspectives.
Thank you, Keith. Let me ask you a question. Are those people bigger than the Eiffel Tower? No, what's the problem? Perspective. And you know what I think about more than anything about perspective? Some of us need to hear this. I think about Joshua and Caleb. Got two nephews, brothers, named after those guys. Joshua and Caleb. You remember God told those 12 to go in and explore the promised land. Those 12 went in. Joshua and Caleb were two of them. Numbers 13, starting at verse 25. At the end of 40 days, they returned from their exploration, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. They're all saying there are giants in the land. And 10 of them said, no, we can't go. But Caleb, verse 30, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Let me ask you a question. Did Caleb and Joshua see the giants? When they stood up, yes, they did, but they also saw a Lord who was larger than the giants in the land. What about you? Sometimes we've got to adjust the EQ in our world. Turn the headlines down and turn the truth of who God is way up. Some of us need to set boundaries. We look at how much do I listen to the Lord through His Word versus how much I read headline after headline after headline after headline. How's your ratio? I think about Psalm 46. There were things going on that the Israelites were looking at. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I want to close with tasks. This is like the schedule. It's like itinerary, but these are the things that don't always fit on the schedule. It's just, how many of you got that to-do list? On your phone? I see some hands, some written down. Does it ever end? No. It just keeps going, right? And it will until the day we pass away and see the Lord face to face, right? I think about our to-do list, our tasks. Busy, busy, busy. And I think about Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listen to his teaching. You see her sitting there listening to the Savior? But Martha was distracted. It can be translated worried, divided, with much serving. And I don't want to be too hard on Martha. Somebody had to fix dinner, okay? There's work to be done. But, says she went up to the Lord and said, Lord, don't you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. What did Jesus say? Verse 41. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. I want to tell you something. We need to prioritize what's most important. Not that we don't, we have things to do, but prioritize. I say it this way. There will always be more to do. If you want to wait till your to-do list is done before you sit and listen to the Lord, you'll never slow down and sit at His feet. We got to prioritize. Make time to listen to Him. Back to Hudson Taylor. That ministry in China was so busy. And his people were shocked that he would spend that 2 to 4 a.m. with God every morning. And he told them why he did that. He said, the enemy is all too ready to go up to busy people and keep them busy, so that they don't press into relationship with the Lord. Oh, beware. I think about the quiet. It's so important. And I want to invite my dad down. I talked to him a couple weeks ago, and we've talked a couple times since. He's going to share something God showed him in his life that I think every one of us could relate to in some way, shape, or form. So if you would, let's welcome my dad, Don Mitchell, down. And I think there's something for all of us to take to heart while we're here.
I wrote this out because I would probably forget portions. I thought it was important that you hear it all. Scott has introduced me. I am not perfect. I'm 74, but I'm still spiritually learning and growing. And God is still working on me. About a month ago, God, through the Holy Spirit, began needed surgery in my spiritual life as he often does, and I praise the Lord that he does. He hasn't given up on me. It began when I, being electronically challenged, anybody identify out there? Got locked out of my iPhone and could not get back in. God had a purpose in that. God can use things to do his surgery, and that's what he did in my life. I was 5 days without an operational iPhone. At 3 a.m., 3 days into that, I woke up at 3 a.m. with a frustrated feeling of what I can best describe as separation frustration from my iPhone. So my mind started racing. What if I miss a call? Oh no, what if I miss a text? And Scott touched on this, and it fits in with what he said. What if I miss news on world-changing events, etc.? First thought that entered my mind by God's guiding Holy Spirit, and I thank him for that. He began to do his surgery. Am I that attached to my iPhone? Time to do some surgery. My confession answer was yes. My next thought, that is not right. God, please forgive me for being so attached to an iPhone. In 1 Corinthians 6:2, Paul says, I will not be dominated by anything. In this case, for me, technology is not the problem. However, misuse and domination of technology is a problem. And I ran across this article, and it kind of helps balance this for me. Christian's Guide to the Digital World. That's the name of the article, and it says this. Jesus did not live in a digital world, but his example still guides how we can use technology today. He would use it to connect with people, share hope, and point others to God. However, he would challenge unhealthy patterns and remind us that not everything popular is good for our hearts. Jesus would also show us how to step away from screens and find real rest in God, just like the weaned child we talked about up here. I own the problem and the sin. The opportunity for me in spiritual correction and growth is learning to want fewer distractions from the iPhone and more connection with God. You see, my sin is this. I was yoking myself with an iPhone. That's why I felt the frustration of separation from my iPhone. Matthew 11:28-30. Says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, not waking up at 3 a.m. thinking about an iPhone. And the Amplified Bible, which brings out the original Greek and Hebrew, and Hebrew says it brings about renewal and blessed quiet. You see, taking Christ's yoke is bringing my personal desires, actions, and thoughts under his control rather than following worldly things that would often appear as I scrolled on my iPhone. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside. The Lord was telling me, lay aside that iPhone. Every weight and sin which clings so closely. Now, does that mean I'm laying it sight permanently? No, I'll get to that a little bit later. Which clings so closely, the Amplified Bible says, so easily and cleverly entangles us. And my iPhone had entangled me. And sin which so closely and easily, cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Do I have another iPhone? Yes, I do. But my continued prayer to God is, grant me the wisdom to use my iPhone wisely and not let it dominate me. I continue to take God up on his invitation and promise found in James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, that's me, let him ask God, who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given him. And I want to close with this. It's a song that we sing very often here at the church next door. It's one of my favorites. I'm just going to quote part of it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth, including my iPhone, that's not in there, I added that, will grow strangely dim. So it's a journey for me. I own the sin, and I praise the Lord that he, in his own way, spanked me and is getting me back on the right path.
So as the worship team comes back up, I just want to talk to you about the peace that's available through Jesus Christ. We're going to give you some time to talk with the Lord in a moment. Worship team's going to play. But just if it helps you to get away the distractions, just close your eyes and listen to the words of the Lord. Isaiah 30 verse 15 says, thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. How about Lamentations 3, verse 25? It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Where's the quiet? Where's the peace come from? It comes to the believer through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ only. He said to his disciples in the upper room, I've told you these things that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I want you to press into Jesus. There are people out there who need to see this peace in the children of Jesus. They might look and say, where in the world do you have that peace? You're going through this and this and this. Will you share it with me? I think about that, and I think about hot spots. Some of you share hot spots with your family or friends on your phone. You're out with someone and the hotspots are great because they work regardless of what's going on out there. You share it from inside your phone. And they get up, but what's the first question they ask? What's the password? I'm telling you, if we walk in the peace of Jesus as believers and people come alongside and they say, what's the password? I need that. You tell them, I'll tell you the password. It starts with J. than E, than S. U, S. I want you to take a few moments as the worship team just plays musically. Talk to the Lord. Have you put your faith in the Lord? If not, come home. If you're a believer and you're struggling, talk to Him. Maybe you need to talk to Him about unanswered questions that got you stirred up. Maybe you need to talk to Him about priorities or focus or your schedule or your to-do list and prioritize Jesus once more. This is your time to talk to the Lord.